This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome.
Welcome
to our Fastest 15. And there is no more important story in the world. I can't believe that CBS left it out. But once again, it's left to me to cover the truly important news. In a email to customers, Chick-fil-A has just announced that it is limiting the number of sauces that they give out with their orders. They say that there is a sauce shortage. And of course, a sauce shortage could only happen in Biden's America. So Chick-fil-A says a lot of customers order extra sauce and they give them free. They said due to industry-wide supply chain shortages, some items like sauces may be unavailable. We apologize in advance for any inconvenience. So listen to this. If you get a 30-count nugget there, they only give you three sauces. You can't have one sauce for every 10 nuggets. That's the way things are in communist countries. Crying out loud. Just want to make sure you're up to date on the most important story of the day. Okay, let me get some local stuff here. I've got some very serious stuff that is in the news, including the story of this woman who was driving on I-5. This is such a sad story. A woman was driving on I-5, and she's 29 years old, Carly Cecil. A 78-year-old guy, Kang Park, he was changing his flat tire on the side of the road. This is down in the Tacoma area. Carly Cecil looked down at her phone to check Facebook, and she swerved just a little bit, and she hit the man on the side of the road and killed him. She immediately stopped. She called 911. Wasn't a hit and run or anything. She is absolutely devastated. Her sister says that Carly is absolutely dying inside because of what she did.
I know she's dying inside right now. You know, like, I know she feels so bad.
And Carly's boyfriend told Cairo 7 News that he's praying for the family of the victim.
I'm so sorry for his family. I pray for his family every night. I hope they forgive my family.
And the attorney for Carly says this could happen to any one of us.
I'm so sorry for his family.
I'd ask the public to give her the benefit of the doubt. This could happen to anybody.
Give her the benefit of the doubt. I'll get back to that in just a moment. The family's message to others is...
It's not worth it.
No text is worth it.
Stay off your phone and be safe and to try to get back to your own family.
I feel for that family because it could be the other way around. And we know that.
She's an amazing mom. Yeah. And she wouldn't want this example for her daughter. So I know she'll do better.
Carly is also a mom. Now, she's been charged with vehicular homicide, could go to prison for several years because of this. And this is one of those stories where I think a lot of us, myself included, have a little bit of inconsistency or even hypocrisy because I have daughters around Carly's age, and at least one of my, I don't know if all of them have it, but one of my daughters, if you call her and she's in the car, you get a message that says just that. I'm driving right now. I will contact you. It's not from her, but it's like it's a automated message that goes on anytime she's driving. So she cannot receive any calls or messages while driving. But I also understand this could happen to anybody. And you know, I know she's got to be punished. A man died, an innocent man died because somebody was checking a Facebook page. And then the other question, how many of you look at your phone? You feel that little vibration. Who's texting me? Do you wait until you get to your destination, or do you take a look? Do you take a glance? Police have told me that if they see a car swerving, the driver is either intoxicated or looking at their phone. And I've seen, we both have seen so many cases of people who are swerving while we're driving up or down the freeway or a surface street. And too many people do this. And too many people are dying. You know, it's interesting. Of all these people who are afraid their kids are going to die of COVID-19, your chance of your kids dying in their car are tens of thousands of times greater than your kids dying from COVID-19, whether they're vaccinated or not. And yet, people don't seem to have the same level of fear when kids drive. We had that Michelle Obama soundbite, that horribly irresponsible, divisive soundbite a couple of days ago, where Michelle Obama said that she's afraid, because both their girls, the Obama girls, are both driving. And she said she's afraid every single time they get behind the wheel, because if they're playing their music too loud or do something wrong, that they could get killed by a cop. And she talked about, you know, the stereotypes of black people while she was stereotyping police officers. And that stereotype does far more harm than good, because when kids are convinced, and they are to, you know, and I know I'm digressing from the Facebook thing, but if kids are convinced that, you know, cops going to hurt them, they're more likely to do something like run from police, struggle with police. It's just horribly irresponsible. So, but my point is, your kids are in far more danger because they have a phone than because of any virus or outbreak. And people just seem to ignore that threat when we should all be more careful. Especially, tell you what, if you're paying the bill, you got a 16 or 17-year-old or a college-age kid, and you're paying their cell phone bill still, you should mandate that they have everything blocked while they're driving. And if they don't, stop enabling it. Stop paying for it. What do you think? What should the punishment be for a young 29-year-old mother who killed a man on the side of the road because she looked at Facebook? Send me a text, 98973. That's 98973. Next up, in the Fastest 15, there has been a fascinating debate in Congress between Rand Paul, who is a brilliant senator, a doctor, and Dr. Anthony Fauci. And what Rand Paul has been grilling him on is that for a long time, Fauci has been kind of excusing the Chinese government for their role. You know, they still insist that the coronavirus occurred in nature. They insist that it did not come out of a laboratory in Wuhan province. And Rand Paul, I thought this was incredibly damaging to the integrity of Anthony Fauci. He talked about how they juice up viruses as a matter of science.
Gain-of-function research, as you know, is juicing up naturally occurring animal viruses to infect humans. To arrive at the truth, the U.S. government should admit that the Wuhan Virology Institute was experimenting to enhance the coronavirus's ability to infect humans. Juicing up superviruses is not new. Scientists in the U.S. have long known how to mutate animal viruses to infect humans. For years, Dr. Ralph Barrick, a virologist in the U.S., has been collaborating with Dr. Shi Zhengli of the Wuhan Virology Institute, sharing his discoveries about how to create superviruses. This gain-of-function research has been funded by the NIH. The collaboration between the U.S. and the Wuhan Virology Institute continues.
Okay, it's called gain of function, where they can mutate viruses that are already out there and make them far more deadly. And Rand Paul talked about a couple of doctors in the U.S. with the support of the National Institute of Health. They have at least collaborated on some level with Wuhan libraries. And he talked about, if one of these juiced up viruses, you think COVID was bad? One of these juiced up viruses ever got out in the world?
Doctors Barrick and Shi worked together to insert bat virus spike protein into the backbone of the deadly SARS virus, and then used this man-made supervirus to infect human airway cells. Think about that for a moment. The SARS virus had a 15% mortality. We're fighting a pandemic that has about a 1% mortality. Can you imagine if a SARS virus that's been juiced up and had viral proteins added to it, to the spike protein, if that were released accidentally?
Why are we even messing with nature? Why would they juice up a virus that's out there? And, I mean, like you said, if a SARS-type virus gets out, 15% fatality rate, the COVID been far less than 1%. So Anthony Fauci, listen to his words. So he denied that the National Institute of Health, and I'm spending a lot of time on this because talk radio is one medium where we can go in depth, where we can give you, you know, both sides of a story. Fauci talked about how the National Institute of Health was not funding this research.
Dr. Fauci, do you still support funding of the NIH funding of the lab in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, with all due respect, you are entirely and completely incorrect that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute.
Do they fund
of virology?
Dr. Barrick?
We do not fund.
Do you fund Dr. Barrick's gain of function research?
Dr. Barrick does not doing gain of function research, and if it is, it's according to the guidelines, and it is being conducted in North.
Okay, notice this. Fauci said we don't fund it in Wuhan, and he said, "Well, do you fund it with this one doctor?" And he said, well, no, but if we do, it's in accordance with guidelines. Fauci's fallen apart.
Carolina, not
you don't think inserting a bat virus spike protein that he got from the Wuhan Institute into the SARS virus is gain of function?
That is
you would
not
be in the minority, because at least 200 scientists have signed a statement from the Cambridge Working Group saying that it is gain of function.
Well, it is not. And if you look at the grant and you look at the progress reports, it is not gain of function, despite the fact that people tweet that.
So do you still support sending money to the Wuhan Virology Institute?
Okay. Do you support sending money? And he asked Fauci that again.
So do you still support sending money to the Wuhan Virology Institute?
We do not send money now to the Wuhan Virology Institute.
Do you support sending money? We did, under your tutelage. We were sending it through EcoHealth. It was a sub-agency and a sub-grant. Do you support the money from NIH that was going to the Wuhan Institute?
Let me explain to you why that was done. The SARS-CoV-1 originated in bats in China.
Okay, this is what they're selling to everybody worldwide, that this mutated from bats, it happened in nature, and what we need to find out definitively, did it actually occur from bats, or did it come out of a Wuhan lab?
It would have been irresponsible of us if we did not investigate the bat viruses and the serology to see who might have been infected.
Or perhaps it would be responsible to send it to the Chinese government that we may not be able to trust with this knowledge and with this incredibly dangerous viruses. Government scientists like yourself who favor gain-of-function research.
I don't favor gain-of-function research in China. You are saying things that are not correct.
Okay, but continue to listen to this to hear how Fauci is parsing his words.
Government defenders of gain of function, such as yourself, say that COVID-19 mutations were random and not designed by man. But interestingly, the technique that Dr. Barrick developed forces mutations by serial passage through cell culture that the mutations appear to be natural. In fact, Dr. Barrick named the technique the no-see-em technique because the mutations appear naturally. Nicholas Baker in the New York Magazine said nobody would know if the virus had been fabricated in a laboratory or grown in nature. Government authorities in the U.S., including yourself, unequivocally deny that COVID-19 could have escaped a lab. But even Dr. Xi in Wuhan wasn't so sure. According to Nicholas Baker, Dr. Xi wondered, could this new virus have come from her own laboratory? She checked her records frantically and found no matches. That really took a load off my mind, she said. I had not slept for days. The director of the gain-of-function research in Wuhan couldn't sleep because she was terrified that it might be in her lab.
Okay, so, and again, why are scientists creating this sort of thing? And then here's where Fauci completely falls apart.
Dr. Barrick, an advocate of gain-of-function research, admits the main problem that the Institute of Virology has is the outbreak occurred in close proximity. What are the odds? Barrick responded, could you rule out a laboratory escape? The answer in this case is probably not. Will you, in front of this group, categorically say that the COVID-19 could not have occurred through serial passage in a laboratory?
I do not have any accounting of what the Chinese may have done, and I'm fully in favor of any further investigation of what went on in China. However, I will repeat again, the NIH and NIAID categorically has not funded gain-of-function research to be conducted in the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
You supported it.
Okay, that is very specific. We did not fund research at gain-of-function research at the Wuhan lab, which opens the door that they may have funded it in many other places with doctors who then collaborated with Chinese scientists. And that Fauci kept leaning on that very precise word.
In the U.S., we have 11 labs doing it, and you have allowed it here. We have a committee to do it, but the committee has granted every exemption. You're fooling with Mother Nature here. You're allowing superviruses to be created with a 15% mortality. It's very dangerous. I think it was a huge mistake to share this with China, and it's a huge mistake to allow this to continue in the United States. And we should be very careful to investigate where this virus came from.
I fully agree that you should investigate where the virus came from.
Okay, but over and over, Fauci kept saying, but we did not fund the Wuhan lab. But they're messing with these mutated viruses, with scientists who collaborate with Chinese scientists, and it's led to a disaster this last year and a half. The number of deaths, the number of, you know, the amount of destruction economically, it's been absolutely disastrous. But do I 100% believe that this came from a bat? Nope. I don't know where it came from. I don't 100% believe it came out of a lab. I don't know. But I think it's important we have people like Rand Paul who are asking those questions. And also, when Dr. Fauci sounds as weaselly as he did there, it sure casts doubt on what he says. All right, and that, you know, I appreciate you wanted to hang out for an in-depth look at that, but I think this is such an important story. And like I said, talk radio is about the only medium that can handle that. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Stories, Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we will give you the world. Okay, coming up, we have danger signs in our economy, in the Middle East. It's all being traced to the new administration. I'll give you the details and the facts to back that up. Coming up next on the Dory Monson Show. Well, I said before the November election that we were getting every sign that Joe Biden could be the worst president since Jimmy Carter. He might be even worse than Jimmy Carter. I mean, when you look at what's happened in just 4 months in America. Now, all you Biden supporters, I know you're all worked up by me saying that. But let me give you some numbers here. Let me give you some facts of what we're dealing with here. So hackers got into a supply chain, a gas supply chain in the southeast. There are long gas lines in North Carolina and in Florida. Now, how do we trace that to the Biden administration? Well, the people in charge. The energy secretary is the former governor of Michigan, Jennifer Granholm, and Pete Buttigieg, who is the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, and has absolutely zero experience with energy or transportation. He's our transportation secretary. When you put people in jobs because of their... Not just party, because every president puts in people who are aligned with them. But if you put them in for reasons other than their expertise in a particular field, you have people who are completely unprepared, unable, unequipped to handle a crisis. And so right now we have these gas shortages and lines that are going back blocks and blocks and blocks.
71% of Charlotte stations have no gas.
That's according to Gas Buddy, and people are still out there trying to fill up. At the same time, North Carolina is drying up. Gas Buddy says 72% of stations in Raleigh are out and 78% in the Greenville and Asheville area.
And they can't get anything straight. Jennifer Granholm yesterday said the Colonial Pipeline, which was hit by the hackers, that it would be up and running by the end of the week. Pete Buttigieg said, no, it won't. Nobody knows what each other is doing, and neither one of them has any expertise in this field. And then you look at what's happening in the Middle East, where the Palestinian Authority, they are firing rockets into Israeli neighborhoods, hitting citizens. The Israelis are retaliating with targeted strikes against military targets. How does Joe Biden factor into this? Well, 5 weeks ago, Donald Trump had cut off U.S. funding of the Palestinian Authority because it is a terrorist organization. Well, 5 weeks ago, Joe Biden restored and gave $235 million of U.S. tax dollars to the Palestinian Authority. So what happens when you fund terrorists? Well, terrorism happens. And so they're firing rockets into Israel right now. There was Middle East peace for the last 4 years before Joe Biden. But they sense weakness in the United States. They know that the United States is not equipped to handle anything at the very top. And then you have more. We just got, I told you 2 days ago, the job creation numbers were disastrous. Economists were projecting more than a million new jobs. It was about 25% of that. Why? Well, because Joe Biden is sending out so much in unemployment that a lot of people who are making under $40,000 a year, they've decided that it's better to just collect unemployment and do nothing instead of getting a job. So the job creation is disastrous. And then you have today's numbers that came out. Inflation is through the roof right now. Year over year, in the numbers just released today, inflation has surged 4.2%. That is the biggest rise in 13 years. And Maria Bartiromo reported on that.
When you go to the grocery store and you see things like lumber up 77% year to date, corn up 49% year to date, used cars up 21%, gasoline up 49% year over year. When you go to the grocery store and see all that, know that that is an additional tax on consumers as a result of bad policy. Your thoughts?
Okay, and why is that? Well, because we're just giving money away. We're flooding with printed money that is adding trillions to our nation's debt. Steve Moore is a former economic advisor to the president.
And I got to tell you, it goes back to Economics 100, Maria. Inflation is too many dollars chasing too few goods, right? And that's precisely what we have right now. Stephanie called it stimulus money. I call it helicopter money. We're just dumping dollar bills out of helicopters, and people are catching them and going out and spending them. And that has caused past, you know, these very bad numbers. But as you just said, Maria, anybody who goes to the grocery store, anybody who goes to the gas pump, anybody who goes to a hardware store sees these price increases. And it's like the Fed has been asleep at the switch.
Yes, they have. And you talk about the gas pump. You know, I mentioned North Carolina and Florida. Here in Washington, gas prices are more than a dollar a gallon higher than they were this time last year. And so why is all this happening? Well, we have a complete void, a complete vacuum at the top in our country. I want you to listen to this. This morning, Joe Biden, he had a conference call with eight governors. And among them were the governors of Minnesota and New Mexico. He made a mistake, Joe Biden did, not once, but twice. There's just nobody home right now in poor Joe's head.
Hi, Tim. How are you? I know Minnesota's great, but it can't be as nice the weather as there is in Mexico now, is it? We got six governors with us today, Democrats and Republicans. And they're meeting the moment. Governor Mills of Maine, Governor DeWine of Ohio, Governor Cox of Utah, Governor Walz of Minnesota, Governor Baker of Massachusetts, and Governor Lujan Grisham of Mexico.
Lujan Grisham of Mexico. Now we get the joke that he tried to make at the start when he said, I know the weather's nice in Minnesota, but it's not as nice as Mexico. And they were all baffled, but they gave a courtesy laugh. Well, he meant to say New Mexico both times, and he didn't. And I realized when I heard that, Joe Biden is Montgomery Burns.
Actually, sir, we've been booked into a small theater in New Mexico.
Woo, woo, slow down there, maestro. There's a New Mexico.
That's it. Montgomery Burns is running the country. He didn't know that there was a New Mexico. Yeah, this is costing families a fortune. I talked to a contractor, a home builder, yesterday. And he told me that a lumber package to build a new house, a year ago, it was $40,000 for the lumber package. Now it's about $78,000, a bid that he just got this week. Almost double. This is really hurt. I mean, inflation is the stealth tax that is killing families right now. And it is our policies that have created this, as we have the worst president of my lifetime, maybe, right now. Okay, got lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Stuff I was just talking about, it came up in a White House press conference. The reason the job numbers this week were disastrous. I mean, I played you the audio. It's really funny. A couple of days ago where CNBC was trying to break the story as the numbers came in. And the guy was so hesitant because he thought it must have been a typo, because no way could the numbers have been that disastrous. But it turns out that when you give people money to not work, they're not going to work. Not everybody. I'll always work. I don't like free money. I don't like being a freeloader. But a lot of people will choose to just become a freeloader. And that is, if you create that mentality, I've been talking about that a lot lately. If you create that mentality, it's a lot easier to pursue a socialist agenda. And so that's what's happening. There, you know, these stimulus checks, many of which are going out to people making six figures. It's absolutely insane and adding to our nation's debt, trillions of dollars. Well, at the White House press conference, Jen Psaki is the White House spokesperson, and she was asked about that.
166,000 jobs in April out of 7.4 million or so job openings. How does the White House know that people are just choosing not to apply for jobs because the extra unemployment benefits are so good?
Well, first, let me say that we have looked at the data, and Secretary Yellen referred to this on Friday, or talked about this on Friday, we don't see much evidence that the extra unemployment insurance is a major driver.
Okay, they don't see it because they're blind, because every reasonable economist has said that's the reason why the numbers are so bad. If you give lazy people a choice between not working and working, and they'll get the same amount of money, regardless of which choice they're going to make, they're going to choose to not work. So it's crazy that they deny
and,
that.
People not rejoining the workforce. We actually see the data, and our analysis shows that lack of vaccination, the lower rate, which is why I referred to the data in the week that it was taken, it has an impact. Child care has an impact. Schools reopening has an impact. But there is also the need to pay a livable working wage. And that.
Okay, but. It's just crazy to listen to. The economists projected that there would be a million new jobs created in the last month. And they took all of those X factors into account. They don't give numbers without trying to account for every variable. They were expecting a million new jobs. They got about 250,000, a little more than 250,000. So this is, it's really weird to hear this from the White House. But again, they're in, even Democrats are questioning what's happening. Yeah, that Joe Biden, Mexico and New Mexico thing, that has to be troubling to everybody. You know that Joe Biden isn't in control of anything. He's not able to mediate in any way a growing war in the Middle East. He doesn't have the mental capacity anymore to deal with runaway inflation. There are other people calling the shots, pulling the strings, running the country. And I think most Americans would like to know, who is that? Who's really running the country right now? Because it ain't the Mexico, New Mexico guy. Of that, we can be certain. Then let's get it local here. Then you have the data daddy, Jay Inslee, in a brand new poll that is out, King 5 poll. Jay Inslee's approval numbers are the lowest since before the pandemic. Poll of 650 people showed that of registered voters, 48% approve of the job Inslee is doing, 36% disapprove. I don't know how 48% approve. We're one of only two states in the country that does not have a reopening plan. I'm serious about that. 48 of the 50 states have a plan to reopen. And I got an email from a listener who told me, name is John. He wanted to go to a friend's kid's soccer game, but he can't because they're only allowing one parent per kid to attend. And he said, 9,000 people can go to a Mariners game, about the same to a Sounders game, but only 20 to a high school soccer game. And John asked, explain how that makes any sense. It makes zero sense, John. You are right to point that out. Well, let's check the news for you here at the top of the hour. And then, Big Lead at 2, next on the Dory Monson Show.